We're beginning the 23rd chapter of 1 Samuel. In the previous chapter, we've seen where Saul has slaughtered the 85 priests because Ahimelech had assisted David. And so after being bathed in the blood of the priests, he continues in this chapter to seek after the life of David. Yet we find that David is doing good and also at the same time suffering ill. And we begin this 23rd chapter with some of the good deeds of David. Verse 1, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." So here was a problem that had arisen in the kingdom. It probably was because of Saul's negligence, because Saul was spending so much energy trying to get David, trying to slay David, that he was neglecting the affairs of the kingdom. Here was a kingdom more or less divided against itself, because Saul was so determined to bring about the death of David. And yet David was having to flee for his life. He was having to take up some defensive measures just for self-preservation. And so the Philistines see this as an opportunity and they move in. They move in against the city of Keilah, which is in the southern portion of Judah. It's a city that was captured during the time of Joshua. And we also read about it being inhabited at the time the people came back from the captivity. So it's an important area, and the Philistines seem to have been opportunists here to move in on this city. Saul is most negligent now and not even trying to defend, apparently, this city of the Israelites. So the report is brought to David. David is still well known as a defender of the nation, as one of the mighty foes of the Philistines. And even though he is in hiding from Saul, even though he is a fugitive from justice in the eyes of the law of the land, they still bring the report to him about this plight of the people of Keilah. And they told David they robbed the threshing floors. That is, they were stealing from these people in Keilah. The Philistines were stealing their grain, robbing the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" Now David was kind of torn between two. He had his hands full defending himself. He had a full-time job just trying to fend off Saul and his advances. So he inquires of the Lord, and he asks, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" It wasn't his official capacity at this time to be a defender of the nation. He had to get the throne first. He had to become king officially first, but this hadn't happened. Yet David felt a great responsibility. And so he did what all people of God should do. He inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." So it was the Lord's will for David to do this. The Lord told him to go and do this thing. Smite the Philistines, save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then, if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" So David's men balked at this. They said, "Look, we have all we can do here in Judah. We're afraid for our very lives here because of Saul. We have Saul breathing down our back. And what if we take on another enemy now, the Philistines? We'll have the Philistines in front of us and Saul behind us, and there's only a small number of us, and this is going to be a poor decision. We shouldn't take on a new enemy. We shouldn't make any more foes than we have to at this point. We have all we can do here with Saul." So they made David begin to wonder and to doubt. Well, maybe it's not a wise decision. So verse 4, "Then David inquired of the Lord yet again." So David went back to the Lord and asked him again a second time, just to be double sure. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So the Lord gave him an assurance. Yes, you go down there. You're going to be successful. I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah. Now, you know, we read that he had about 400 men. And they were a rather ragged army. These were the discontented persons, the debtors, the ones who were in some kind of distress, who fled to David for refuge and became a part of his army, numbering about 400 men. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So it seemed that they made the Philistines retreat into their own country, and he even brought away their cattle. That is, he took some of the spoils of the victory from the Philistines, and smote them with a great slaughter. So they were very successful in this, and God had told them that they would be. He told them he would deliver the Philistines into his hand. And this is an example now of the enemies of the church invading the church, especially when the church is divided against itself, like Saul was against David. And they, the enemies of God take this opportunity, but yet the faithful ones, if they will continue to fight, if they will continue to be faithful to God, they will be given the victory, as David and his small band was on this occasion. They smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. They were saved from this invasion by the Philistines. Verse 6, and it came to pass, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. So now the high priest, Abiathar, the one priest that seems to be left after the great slaughter of those 85 priests, he comes to David to Keilah, and he brings this ephod in his hand. And it's thought that this ephod was the garment of the high priest, which had the breastplate that contained the Thummim and the Urim. It had the breastplate of judgment, so that although there wasn't a tabernacle where David was, there wasn't the full articles that would go with the holy and most holy place, he still had that important item, the ephod, with the breast of judgment that he used in assisting him to serve God. Verse 7, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. So the message comes to Saul that David is in Keilah. No doubt Saul also knew that David had exhibited courage and bravery in delivering this city of Keilah from the Philistines. But Saul, in his great effort to want to destroy David, uses this as an opportunity to seize upon the situation that David is in and do him harm. And Saul mistakenly thinks that God has delivered him into his hand. He says that God has delivered him into mine hand. He thinks that God is now working to help him for some way or another. And we see that it's a very common fault of man to be doing something that's wrong and to make himself believe that God is leading him in that, that God is blessing him in that, that God is warning him to do that very thing. But nothing could be further from the truth in the case of Saul. God was not aiding or abetting Saul in this action against David. And so we have to be most careful that we not allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking that God is leading us, that God is guiding us, that God is giving us the victory in something that God has no part in, that God does not intend for us to do. And we can see that it's very easy for a man to deceive himself this way and to think that he's going about doing something that God is pleased with, when all the time it is something most opposed to what God's will is. Saul says that he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And this name Keilah does mean enclosed. And it may be that it got its name from the fortifications involved in the walls and gates that go about it. And so what Saul intends to do is to besiege the city, surround it, and by virtue of the fact that the city already had good fortifications, it would keep David from having a way to escape. So in verse 8, Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now he calls all the people together to go down to Keilah. He really is on the surface pretending that they're going down to further protect it from the Philistines. He doesn't announce his public intention now of going after David, because we learn a little later that he's doing this secretly. But publicly it looks like he's calling the army together to go down to assist Keilah against the Philistines. And the real purpose, though, is to get David. And verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. So David found out that Saul was doing this against him. He knew that Saul was secretly, really, determining to come after him. It wasn't any protection of Keilah that he was coming for. It wasn't to fight the Philistines. That had already been done. David already accomplished that problem. But he was coming after David. It's thought that at this point, David penned the 140th Psalm. And so we'd like to read from that 140th Psalm and see just what the thoughts of David were at this time. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me, and cords, and they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. So we see what David thinks. He is most desirous to go to God and to depend upon God and to ask God to deliver him from the wicked ways and designs of Saul. And so we see this verse 9 further says that he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. We've got to determine what to do. We've got to see what God wants. We've got to make contact with God in this matter. So bring hither the ephod. The ephod which contained the Thummim and the Urim, which contained the breastplate of judgment, the device by which they could see what God's view was. They could ask God a question about it and get an answer through this. We today do not have the ephod, but we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And so when we're confronted with something in which we need to have an answer, we need to know, it's most fitting for us to say, bring hither the Bible. Let us consult the Word of God. Let's see what God would say about this. Let's study the mind of God so that we can determine what's the best way for us to go. Then said David. We see now David is addressing God in prayer. He's bringing his petition to God. And twice he calls God the Lord God of Israel. And three times here he refers to himself as being the servant. So he very properly knows what his station is. He also very fittingly knows the great authority of God. And so we need to be just as reverent, just as holy, and just as solemn in our approaches to God. Let us not think that we can talk to God in a light, flitting manner. Let us not think that we can use His name in vain, that we can throw His name about as many people do in a lighthearted way. But we need to approach God as the most reverent of all beings. And so David said, O Lord God of Israel, Thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. He's coming to destroy the city, but it's for my sake. Saul is willing to wipe out this town just to get at me. And he remembers what had happened recently in Nob, where there Saul had killed all the residents as well as 85 priests wearing the ephod just because of some assistance that was given to David. And so he is talking as much about Saul's destruction of the city as he is about his own destruction. He's concerned about Keilah as much as he is for himself. And so he asks a question in verse 11. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Now that's a question that even the men of Keilah couldn't answer. When Saul comes with his threatenings, when he comes with all of his might and his force and his weapons, when he comes with his army, what's the attitude of Keilah going to be? Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will they fight? Will they protect me? Will they defend me? Will they think as highly of me then as they do now? Or are they going to turn and deliver me up into the hand of Saul? And had he asked the men of Keilah this, they might have thought at this time, oh no, David, we'll never turn against you. We'll always defend you. But when it came right down to it, who knew how the council was going to vote? Who knew what terror Saul would strike into their minds and influence their judgment so that they then would not stand behind David? And so the question is put to God by David through using this ephod of the priest, which had the Thummim and the Urim, which would give him an answer. And so he says, will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? Now he's asking two questions. Really, he should have asked the last question first to be in the proper order First of all, will Saul come down, as thy servant has heard? Did I hear the right thing? Have I been misled? Is this just a rumor? Or is Saul going to come? And the second one is, when Saul gets here, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? And so David says, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. So that much we have an answer to. He will come, David. He's planning to come. He's not going to let up at all. He's coming to get you. And then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of God? That's the second question. And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Yes, David, when Saul comes, when he gets here, they're going to deliver you up to him. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah. Now, we find that David took action as a result of what God told him. God told him what was going to happen. And so then David took action to avert this great problem. Now we see that God intends for us to act. He intends for us to work. It's foolish for us to know that we have a great problem coming and to not do something on our part to take care of the thing. David could have said, well, God, I'm going to commend myself into your hands. I'm going to let you take care of this. I'm just going to sit here and relax. When Saul comes, I'm expecting you then to deliver me from him. Have something happen so Saul is not going to be able to get me. No, once David learned that Saul was coming and that the men of Keilah would not stand behind him, he left. He departed out of Keilah. And so it is with us. Once we see that we have a problem and we've consulted God, we've done all that we know to do in finding out what God's will is in the matter, then it's up to us to take appropriate action. If I'm out here in the middle of a street and a truck's coming and bearing down upon me, I may pray to God that the truck not run over me, but at the same time, I'm going to be running to get out of the way. If I'm trying to start a fire and I have a box of matches there, I'm not going to pray to God that he will miraculously light that fire for me. I know he expects me to take that box of matches and strike a match and use that as a means to start the fire. And it may very well be that it is the act of God that he's provided me with the matches to use. And so it is with David. David departed out of Keilah. Now we find at this point he has about 600 men. His little army has grown from 400, which is the number given the last time we read about it, to now 600. He has more followers that have joined in with his group. And went whithersoever they could go. At this point, they probably didn't have any good plan as to where to go. The main thing was to get out of Keilah, to get out of Saul's way, leave in such haste as to outstrip Saul and do it in such a way that Saul could not head him off or corner him some other place. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah. So Saul learned through his intelligence that David no longer was at Keilah. So he didn't have any reason to go down there now. Regardless of what his original outward reason was, this secret reason for coming after David didn't exist anymore. So he forbore to go forth. Saul didn't go down, not with his army. Now he did take some men with him to pursue after David, but he didn't go to Keilah with the army like he originally had planned to do. So in verse 11, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Zin. So David now is in a constant state of flight, running from and hiding from Saul. He's in a mountain in the wilderness of Zin. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Every day, the main thrust of Saul, the main purpose of Saul, seemed to have been against David. He sought him every day. It was a relentless, daily, never-ending problem for David. Here was Saul trying to put him to death, but God delivered him not into his hand. God was with David. God was not with Saul. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zin in a wood. So David knew what the situation was. He knew that Saul was after him. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. So now Jonathan comes to David And no doubt David was willing to meet with Jonathan. He probably made arrangements for Jonathan to be able to meet him, because Saul certainly couldn't find him. And he was glad to see his friend. And Jonathan strengthened his hand in God. No doubt, as strong as David was, as godly as he was, as much faith as he had, still he needed somebody to strengthen his hand in God. And Jonathan did. And this is true of all of us. There comes a time, or times, in which we need a little assurance. We need somebody to give us a reminder of what our true purpose in life is. A reminder of what it is to be a true Christian, what it is to be a child of God, and to have ourselves strengthened in God. And no doubt Jonathan did this to David. He reminded him that he had been anointed to be king, that God was with him, that God did give him deliverance from the hand of Saul, and he strengthened his hand in God. He further says in verse 17, "And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." So Jonathan is telling David that everything's going to be all right. "My father's not going to find you. He's not going to put you to death. Thou shalt be king over Israel." This is going to happen. You're going to be anointed king. You're going to be given that you strive for, that God's appointed you to. "And I shall be next unto thee." This never did happen, but this was Jonathan's wish. He desired it. He wanted to be next to David when David was king. "I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." My father really knows this is going to happen. He knows how I feel. He knows that you've been anointed to be king. He knows ultimately you're going to win out, but nevertheless, he won't accept the fact. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. So they again renewed their covenant, or made another covenant. They were friends. They had a pact between them. They had an agreement between them that they were going to stick together, which they had been doing up to this point. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. We don't have any record of these two friends ever meeting again after this. Although they desired it, Jonathan wanted to be with him when David was reigning in the kingdom, never do we find that they came together again in this life. And so it is in this life. We never know when we're going to speak to another individual for the last time while walking upon this earth. So our every action toward our fellow man should be done with prudence. That brings our lesson to a close at this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.